Acts 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Actually, I want to read from verse 1 till verse 13 and then give a short explanation and then give some different conclusions, different points. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask you this morning to bless us, to help us, give us understanding. Lord, I pray you give me wisdom in what to say and how to say it. Use this short time together around the word of God to accomplish your will in us, Lord. Help us to yield to you. We pray and ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So anyway, this is a known story in the Bible. And talking about Peter and John healing a crippled man in Acts chapter 3. And the people that saw this miracle that God did, because it wasn't Peter or John, it was God that did the miracle. And Peter and John, seeing the reaction, seeing how they saw the miracle, they took advantage of the situation and they preached the gospel, and there were 5,000 people saved that day. And I want to kind of like go off road just a little bit on this point. You know what we need to do as Christians? Take advantage of the opportunities. If we're just kind of going down, like for instance, in Mexico, there's tons of horses, and to put the blinders on the horses so they can't see exactly on the other sides and get distracted, and so it's just like straightforward. I don't know about you, but I have the habit a lot of times, if I'm going somewhere or doing something, it's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to finish that, I'm going to do this, and I never see what's going on around me. And what God wants us to do is open our eyes, because you know what? Over here, where my blinders are covering, there's a person there who God's leading me to talk to, or to give him a gospel track, or invite him in the church, but I'm in a box, and I'm not paying attention. They took advantage of the situation, and there was 5,000 people that were saved. The religious Jews and the priests, they were grieved at what Peter and John had done. They didn't want anybody preaching about Jesus. They were against it 1,000%. And you know what? The devil doesn't want us to preach the gospel. The devil doesn't want us to put those packets on the doors. The devil doesn't want us to invite people to church. The devil doesn't want us to do anything whatsoever. Well, why make the devil happy? So what they did was they grabbed Peter and John, they threw them in jail, they shut them up in jail, and then afterwards they took them out and they put them in the midst. So if you can imagine all of these religious Jews in a circle, sitting down at their chairs maybe, or maybe standing. And in the middle there are the two victims, Peter and John. And they had them there with a purpose to harass them, to shut them up. And they asked, by what power, by what name have ye done this? They wanted to scare them. They wanted to threaten them. And as for the so they would not preach any more about Jesus. But Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, answered. And that's in verse 8. If you look at verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So it's kind of like starting out very smooth. He wasn't shouting. He wasn't like in their face. He wasn't screaming at them. He's just kind of like saying, yeah, you rulers of the people, you know, kind of like being respectful to these Jewish people that threw him in jail and really wanted to harass them. Then he began to speak about the cripple man who was healed in verse 9. And then in verses 10 through 12, you can see that Peter, he can't maintain the same style of saying, you know, you rulers of the people and respectful and everything like that. I believe he began to raise his voice and he said, be it known unto you, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. And so he's saying these words, but he's no longer using the same style. He's basically preaching at them for what they had done. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And also going sidetracked again, we also crucified him. They were instrumental in doing it, but our sins and shortcomings and we had just as much part in it as they did. He told those folks that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way of salvation. Jesus only. If it's Jesus in good works, Jesus in baptism, Jesus in living a good life, there is no salvation. It's Jesus only because he's the only Savior. The Jews wanted to scare Peter and John and stop them from preaching. But they were steadfast. And these Jewish people saw the steadfastness of Peter and John and they realized that they weren't going to stop them from preaching. They realized that. They also saw another thing, that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. According to the religious Jews, they were unlearned and ignorant. But you know the truth of the matter? They weren't unlearned. They weren't ignorant. They were maybe ignorant of what the Jewish people were doing, the religious Jews, but they knew Jesus. And it's interesting how sometimes nowadays people will say, you know, you know, these people that they go to the church and, you know, they got their eyes closed. They can't see anything. It's like they're being led around. No, the truth of the matter is those folks that are condemning the word of God in church, they're being led around. The devil is leading them around. So depending on the point of view, of course, these religious Jewish people condemning Peter and John. But you know what? They realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And you know, that's something interesting. The world can see if we've had time, we've spent time with Lord Jesus. You know, it's easy to sin. It's easy to get sidetracked. You could get up in the morning, read the Bible and pray before you go off to work or whatever you're going to do that day, and you feel really like I'm on top of things. Things are going to go well. And then just like without any notice at all, we're sticking our foot in our mouth, and you ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And that's so easy to do. That's just easy. But you know what? When we really spend time with the Lord Jesus, folks are going to say it. They're going to know. And that's exactly what happened with Peter and John. And I have 8 points written down. I hope I can finish. I made sure I picked one that was a shorter message to preach during Sunday school, because if it was something long, in Zacatecas, I chop the message off and write a line on the paper and then come back to it on the next service. I have messages that I preach like 10 or 12 messages on one message. I never finish. Otherwise, I'll really go over. I'll be an hour and a half and the people are going to be sleeping. And some of them, this is funny. They're sitting in church, and they're like this, and they're listening, and then you can see their wrist, their wrist. I don't guess it's any different here as it is there, right? So point number one, God can use people that have nothing. The world was saying Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. We don't know. Maybe they knew how to read and write. Maybe they were just. But you know, Peter and John, they weren't college graduates. Not that necessarily means anything, because sometimes in life, people that have never gone to college and they've been learning their whole life and learning things that are useful and good, they're smarter and they're more on top of things than a 22-year-old young man or young lady that's gone to the university and learned stuff that's really useless, and they come out and they know everything, knowing absolutely nothing. That was extra. In Spanish, we call it pilón, right? ¿Sí usan la palabra pilón? ¿Sí? No, yo mucho. I like that word. Anyway, that was like free extra. So God can use people that have nothing. The apostles, many of them were fishermen. God uses the weak and foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I remember when I was in grade school, they forced us to give an oral report. Do you all do that here in the Christian school? You know, like some, they got to stand up and they got to give a speech about something that they don't really care about or like, and it's almost like you're standing behind the poor boy pushing his arm up, twisting it behind his back, and he's like, he don't want to do it, but he's doing it because he's got to do it. And I remember they made me do that in public school, an oral report. Oh, I did such a rotten job. It was incredible. I was stuttering, and I don't stutter. I was stuttering. I was afraid. It was like, and when I finished, it's like, I don't know what I said or what I did, but I did a pathetic job. And I tell the people in church sometimes, say, you know, your pastor, me speaking to my church people, your pastor, no, he was afraid. Doesn't talk to himself. Doesn't like to get up in front of people. And all of them are rolling their eyes like, yeah, right. God can use those of us that have nothing. He uses the weak and foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. Well, let's not go there. God doesn't use the proud, though. Somebody who's proud and cocky, God won't have anything to do with them. He might use a stutterer like Moses. He might use somebody else that has no ability whatsoever. But you know, he uses people that have nothing. The next point would be, God is the one that does the work and not us. Doesn't the Bible say, without me you can do nothing? You know, one danger is when you get experience preaching and teaching and going soul winning, it's very easy to go by yourself. You follow what I'm saying? It's very easy to go by yourself. Before it was like, Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, I'm in trouble. Well, I don't know why I'm supposed to preach. I can't do this. Lord, help me, please. And then after a while, it's like, all right. And God says, now you're not. You were before, but now you're not. God is the one that does the work and not us. Then the next point, he who comes to serve will be used, and he who doesn't come will not be used. In other words, in Spanish, and I, it's like sometimes I have to translate my stuff from Spanish to English. I feel better speaking Spanish than English. But it's like the person that shows up, God will use them. And the person that doesn't show up won't be used. That's interesting. So sometimes we get to thinking like, no, you know, I know how to talk to people. I know how to witness. And then the person shows up and God says, you know what, go. I don't want you. No, I'm not going to use you. No, you're proud, you're cocky. No, get out of here. But you know, if we show up humble, having nothing and not being able to do anything and trusting the Lord, he's going to use us. He's going to use us. And that's a blessing. And in the Bible, it talks about Isaiah and the Lord looking for somebody to send. And he says, here am I. Send me. The availability. We need to present ourselves to be used of God. We need to show up. The next point, I'm going to have to maybe stretch this out a little bit to fill the time, Pastor. No, I'm almost done. The fourth point. Better to be ignorant before man than to be ignorant before God. I mean, you can know everything under the sun, but if you don't know God, if you don't know Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know how the Bible goes and the workings of the Bible, then the fact of the matter is you're really ignorant before God. Maybe not before man. It's better to be ignorant before man than to be ignorant before God. And you know, sometimes if somebody says, you know, man, you're ignorant. You don't know anything. Bothers us, doesn't it? Right. But you know what? To be ignorant about the things of God, that is really bad. It's more important to know God and be ignorant of the world. Let's look at a few verses because there's probably enough time. Romans 16, verse 19. Romans 16, verse 19. I've also noticed something maybe the past year or two. I have my glasses to drive. If I put them on, I can see the facial expressions of the people in the back, but I can't read the words of the Bible. And then as of late, it's like I'm looking at my Bible, and if there's not enough light, I can't read the words, and I have to go like this. Find the spot where I can see the words, and usually it's about right there. And I guess that means I'm not 29 anymore, right? Romans 16, verse 19. It says, For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore in your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I think nowadays there's no innocence left in the world. There's no innocence left in the young people. It's shameful.
Yes, sir.
And even as far as we go, where's the innocence?
Yes, sir.
You know, the saying is the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. And the truth is, a lot of times our shortcomings are amplified in our own in our children's lives. Simple concerning evil. We shouldn't know about the evil things. We shouldn't be involved in the evil things. We should be ignorant. Where somebody is speaking something incorrect and wrong, and we have no idea what they're talking about, that would be a blessing.
Right.
But more often than not, somebody's speaking bad and talking about things that are incorrect and out sinful and extremely sinful, and we know exactly what they're saying and where they're going.
Right.
We should be simple concerning that which is evil. But you know, as far as knowing good, we should be 1 Peter 3:15. We should be able to answer anybody who asks us a question. 1 Peter 3:15. We should be able to answer them. Now I understand there's always questions that someone would ask, and it's like, wow, I don't know that answer. And then we need to humbly say, well, I'm going to investigate that, and maybe later on I'll be able to come back to you and give you an answer, but I really don't know the answer. Rather than being proud and cocky and saying this, and then we can be like politicians, you know, talking and saying a million words, and the final end, what do we say? Absolutely nothing. That's typically the case, at least in Mexico. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be able to answer. How are we going to be able to answer? Give them answers from the Word of God. We got to read. Got to come to church. Got to study. You know what would be a good thing to do while you read the Bible? Have a little pad and a pen there and write down the words you don't understand and the questions that you have. And either you investigate it later on in another time you have available or ask the pastor. I'm in trouble now, right? Everyone's going to be asking you left and right. But really, that's what we ought to do. Because the Bible is the Word of God, it's perfect. There's no errors in it whatsoever, and we need to dedicate time to know the answer of the Bible, even though we're never going to know everything. We need to study. The next point would be, the people that see us realize if we've been with Jesus or not.
Right.
You know, I joke around with the people in Zacatecas. You know, it's like, hey, listen, in the morning, you're having an argument with your wife, and she's giving you these evil laser looks from her eye, and she's burning holes in you, and you got an expression on your face, just rah, rah, rah. I said, don't miss church. Church is the answer. But you know what you got to do? You need to put on the mask temporarily. By putting on the mask temporarily, it's like, it's good to see you, brother. God bless you. And you're sitting next to your wife, and you got your arm around her. But the truth of the matter is she's like boiling inside, like, oh, you dirty rat. But put the mask on. But can I tell you something? There's some folks that no matter what they do, they don't have any masks. So at one point, that's a blessing, right? Because we can depend on the masks that we can put on, you know? Like, we live like the devil, we do wrong, we're fighting with our wife, with our husband, just bad stuff. You just put the mask on and come to church and have the smile and everything like that. And people are like, man, brother so-and-so, he's a good Christian. Sister so-and-so, boy, she's a good Christian. And we can't tell that that it's not true, right? Or what we can do even better is spend time with Jesus so that we don't have arguments.
Yes,
we don't have friction.
Yes, sir.
The patience of Christ in us. And he's patient. Have you ever imagined if you were God, what would you do with yourself seeing how you live and how you do things? I know what I would do. I would be throwing lightning bolts at myself, frying myself. I would be frying everybody else. Where would be the mercy and the patience? There wouldn't be any mercy or patience if I was God. What a blessing. I'm not God. But if we spend time with Jesus, we're going to become like him. And I have written down here, I'm afraid to, no, we're not going to go there. If you want to write it down, you can write it down. It's Exodus 34, 28 to 35. And it's talking about Moses. He went up to the mount, spent time with God. I believe it was 40 days and 40 nights, if I'm not mistaken. But I guess it doesn't matter how much time. And he came down. And it says that his skin was shining or shone. I know what the words are in Spanish. I don't remember in English. And he didn't realize it. And when he came down, Aaron and the rest of the people there, they were seeing it and they were afraid. They saw that he had spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was evident. And so what happened was he had to put a veil on, I think that's the right word, while he was in front of them because they were afraid of him. And when he went up to be with the Lord again, he took it off and he went up and he's spending time with him. And you know, it's such a perfect example. Sometimes we say, well, that's the way I am. I can't help it. Would that be true? The truth is, no. Some of us are of very strong character. And I don't mean in a good way. I mean in a negative way. You know? And you know the best way you can see what a person's character is? How they drive. Or what their reactions are. And honestly, you know? I mean, it's interesting. Some people, it's like in life, they're just kind of like ba-doop, ba-doop, you know, like putting along and no problem. But when they get behind the wheel of the car and there's somebody that's driving 5 miles under the speed limit, it's like there's probably not 10 feet between the bumpers of the cars, and the person is like, oh, the eyes are popping out of the head. Yeah, but usually what happens... But usually what happens is when you're under those circumstances, it's like you want to pass and there's traffic coming. You want to pass and there's a policeman on the other side of the road. You want to, no, honestly, I mean, isn't that what happens? It's like, I got to get to church and I got 5 minutes and it takes 10 minutes to get there and I'm trying to make up the time and you know what? There's three cars in front of me that it's like, what's happened to you guys? Are you trying to get the last couple of miles out of the drops of gas left in your tank, or what's going on? And but you know what? If we spend time with the Lord Jesus in prayer, in his word, and walking with him, not just like I did that this morning, I'm okay. No. Throughout the day yielding to him and being led by him, you know what? We're not going to do stuff like that. They knew that Moses had spent time with the Lord Jesus, just as the religious Jews knew that Peter and John, unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew that they spent time with the Lord Jesus. They could tell. And the world can tell. The world can tell. Even if you have got a collection of masks that work and you know how to use them, sooner or later, people see. People know. It's like this. Can I fool my wife? Uh-uh. If I try, no. Can I fool my daughter? Nope, it's impossible. Can I fool my son? I think so. Isn't it the truth?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's, women are perceptive, no? They can see. They can tell. You can't fool them. If you think you're going to fool them, you ain't going to fool them. You're fooling yourself. So they knew that Peter and John had spent time with the Lord Jesus, and the world should know that we spend time with the Lord Jesus too. We need to make time and spend time with him and walk with him throughout the day. The next point, if we have not spent time with the Lord Jesus, we won't have anything to say. We won't have anything to say.
Right.
No time with it. There'll be nothing to say. You know what I find interesting? I intentionally read the Bible a lot because I remember saying, and although it's not a Bible verse, but it is Bible principle, that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And knowing how I am as a sinner, I need to read more Bible than probably anybody else so that I don't go that direction and do things that I ought not to do. And so I read a lot of Bible. And what happens sometimes is I have a message, and it's written out ahead of time. I like preparation. I like to have everything done. And that's the reason why sometimes I get 7 or 8 or 10 messages out of one message. Part one, part two, part three. And so I find myself getting sidetracked and going off, and I'm spitting out Bible verses and saying this and saying that, and nothing is written down on the message. Like, how did that happen? You read enough Bible, and Bible comes out. You watch enough TV, TV comes out. You fill yourself up with things of the world, and that's the stuff that'll come out.
Yes,
and I have a verse written down here. I'm looking at the clock wrong because it's already 10:20. I'm supposed to be done. I knew this was going to happen. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to speak any more about him. I'm done. No more. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of the people mistreating me. I'm tired of problems. No more. I won't say his name anymore. But there was a fire that burned in him. If we get a fire burning in us like that, a spiritual fire, it's going to come out. People will know that we've spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Next point, next to the last point, and I got to hurry. There is steadfastness when we have spent time with Jesus. Now, what word would you all use instead of steadfastness? It's like, I don't even know how to say the things in English anymore. Is it? I think it's a Bible word, but the truth of the matter is, in Spanish, firmeza, you know, and so you want to translate it and say, well, we're firm in the Word of God. Doesn't make any sense, right? But anyway, steadfastness when we spent time with Jesus. You know, doesn't the Bible say in Luke 18, verse 1, that if we pray, we won't faint? So therefore, if we don't pray, we will faint. Why is it that so many people, and we realize this, you know, it's like nowadays with social media, and I don't have any social media, but my wife, she likes the Facebook. It's the devil's Facebook. And she likes to be in contact with her friends and know what's going on. And, you know, we see things like so-and-so who was serving God, and now her friend, she's got to use a quart of oil to put those pants on. Somebody that was serving God. People that were in the ministry doing right, and they don't even go to church anymore. They're involved in the devil's work. And you wonder how that happens. You know why? Because when somebody walks with the Lord Jesus and yields to him and follows him, tries to, there's steadfastness. It's like somebody coming to knock you down, and you ain't gonna knock me. If you knock me down, I'm going to get back up again. Steadfastness. But that doesn't come from desire. That comes from walking with the Lord. And the last point, because and I've got a whole boatload of verses here written down, and we've only seen, what, one or two of them? I would have stretched this out to about 4 messages of an hour long in Zacatecas. The last point, we need to tell the truth no matter what it costs us. Imagine Peter saying, he's like talking like really soft and like, you know, respectful, you know, you Jewish leaders, you people of the cloth, or whatever he was saying. And then and then he's saying, you crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You're guilty, and there's only salvation in him. And he's just letting it rip. There was a chance there. They could have just killed him right on the spot. Did it matter to Peter and John? No. No, I'm not saying we should be foolish and be mean and look for trouble. But you know, it's sometimes just saying to somebody, I'm sorry, young man, I'm sorry, but that's wrong. That's what the devil wants us to do. The Bible says this, and you tell the truth in love, but you know what? There's times when it turns out bad. And you know what, if it turns out bad, who cares? Tell the truth anyway. Stand for the truth. Stand for the Word of God. And that's exactly what we need to do, is tell the truth, preach the truth, no matter what it costs us. If they throw us in jail, if they whip us, if they rip our beards out, of course, they're not going to rip my beard out. And they're not going to pull my hair out either, unless they get a pair of vice grips and grab a couple of hairs and yank them out. But it's not going to affect me like that's on. That'll hurt. Tell the truth. Give the truth of the Word of God out. Let people know the truth. It doesn't matter what it costs us. Not be examining and weighing it out like, man, if I say this, what are they going to do to me? Speak the Word of God in righteousness, in love, and tell people the truth regardless of how it turns out. And if it turns out bad, God's with us in the jail. Right?